Kyle, appreciate you leading that song for us. This morning, want to start off a little bit of a story before we get going into the lesson. But the other day, Wyatt and I were in the pickup and we were listening to a song. And the song is an old one. It was Big Bad John from Jimmy Dean. It's like a 60-year-old song, right? And I think probably a lot of people have heard it. Maybe some people haven't. But it talks about this big bad dude that he didn't talk to anybody. No one wanted to talk to him. Kind of scared of him. No one really knew where he came from, but the guy was huge. He was like 6'6", 265, and he worked in this unknown mine. They didn't even talk about in the song what he even mined. But one day they're all in this mine, and a timber breaks, and the people in the mine are all scared that they're gonna die because this timber's broken. And you know, I'm thinking about an old Western movie where you have little oil lamps hanging on the mine timbers as they go down, and you know this timber breaks. Well, this giant of a man walks over and he picks this timber up and moves the rock and everything. And then they can see light, and all these 20 guys, they run through this opening that he made and they escape. They get up to the top and they grab all their tools and they run down to go save Big Bad John. Well, on the way down, the mine shaft collapses. And they know that he's gone. It's over with. And this was such an amazing event to these guys in this story. It was so bad, they just closed the mine, shut the whole thing down, and put a marble stone in front of it. And the marble stone says, at the bottom of this mine lays a big, big man, Big John. And the story was so cool that an 8-year-old wanted me to play it again, right? It wasn't just a one-time thing, oh, wow, this was an old song. He wanted to hear it again. And it wasn't about the instruments, and it wasn't about 4K digital high-def sound. And it wasn't like the thump of the bass of the song. It was just a cool song that told a story. And he was able to play that out in his head. He could imagine what was going on in that song. And it wasn't just random words and tones put together. It was a little mini movie in his head that he was able to hear. And I know, like I said, a lot of people have kind of heard this song. But each person pictures a different version of what Big Bad John looks like, right? So as I'm listening to that song, there's a cool picture that Jeff has, and he's in his football uniform just a few years ago. But he looks huge, looks like a big guy. My version of Big John is like a supersized version of Jeff Nunn. 6'6", 265, and this monster of a man picks this timber up. And that's just what played out in my head, and that's what I see. But that brings so much to that little story and that little song when you can do that and see that in your head and imagine what that was like at that point in time. And sometimes movies help us to be able to glean, you know, something and bring some reality to a song. But how in the world this morning does Big Bad John have anything to do with us as Christians? Well, I asked Kyle this morning to sing Because He Lives, and I like that song. That song, it tells a story for us. It tells a story of our life. Tells why we're here. It tells what the end game is. It tells what we're supposed to do when we're here. And thankfully, we have a huge book completely full of songs that tell stories. Some of them are praise. Some of them are hymns. But there's a lot of stories in there. And we can see those stories and we can know those stories. And so this morning when Kyle led that, you know, did you have a story in mind, or were we just singing praises to God? So this morning, I want us to walk through that song just a little bit and look at what story it tells. And then we're going to sing the same song again and see if it feels different to us as we go through this. So as we lead this song, it starts off, God sent his son. They called him Jesus. Matthew 1:18 says, now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she found out to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Luke 2:6-7 says, while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. She gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in clothes, laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. So we can all kind of imagine this event. We've all seen the manger scene. It's this sweet little thing that's going on there. But really, in reality, a baby was born in a barn is what we're dealing with. And then you think about what Mary went through. Mary rode on a donkey, pregnant, right? We've gone through three of those at my house, and I can't imagine that being a good event. You know, and there was a baby that was born, and then there's really no place to rest. You're in a barn. So when you sing that one line in the song, is that what you're imagining in your head? Is that what you're picturing? Is that what we're singing about? Because that's really the story we're telling. The next line was, he came to love, heal, and forgive. Isaiah 53:10-12 says, but the Lord desired to crush him, cause him grief. he renders himself guilty offering, we will see his offering, and we will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. As a result of the anguish of his soul, we will see it, and it will be satisfied by his knowledge and by the righteous one, my servant, and justify the many. For he will bear their wrongdoings. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the plunder among the strong, because he has poured his life out into death and was counted with wrongdoers. Yet he himself bore the sins of many and interceded for the wrongdoers. So I know many times in our mind, we read this scripture when we're trying to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper, because it's talking about the life of Jesus and why he was sent here on earth. And he was sent here because the blood of animals could never replace the sacrifice that he is for us. And he knew that when he started this path in life, when he came here, when we sang the first line, when he was born in a manger, then he came to this earth, he knew that's why he was here. So each one of us as sinners or as wrongdoers, as the scripture says, we can have a hope of a home in heaven. So when you sing that second line of that song, is that what you're thinking about? Is that what you're picturing in your mind is the reason Jesus came and the suffering he was going to go through? The next verse in the song says, he lived and died to buy my pardon. Matthew 27, 45 through 54 says, now from the sixth hour, darkness fell upon the land until the ninth hour. And the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of those who were standing there, when they heard it, said, this man is calling for Elijah. And immediately one of them ran, taking a sponge and filling it with sour wine, putting on a reed and giving him a drink. But the rest of them said, let's see if Elijah comes to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and gave up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and rocks were split. Also, the tombs were opened up, and many bodies of the saints that had fallen asleep were risen. Coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now, as for the centurion and those who were keeping guard over Jesus, when they saw the earthquake and the other things that happened, they became extremely frightened and said, truly, this was the Son of God. This is the part of the song or the story where we see that Jesus dies. An untouched veil is torn from top to bottom. The earth is shaken. The earth has gone dark. The earth has gone dark. This was more than just a little eclipse of the sun. There's an eclipse of the sun, the earth has gone dark, and there's this giant earthquake. And we can kind of picture some of that, right? We've heard of earthquakes, and we've seen, the sun being blotted out as the moon passes over. But then we turn around and we see that dead people rose. And this wasn't a zombie thing, right? This wasn't people running and screaming like something off of Walking Dead. These were people that arose and wandered in into the city and talked with others. And then we read about the centurion, and you think about that centurion and what he says, truly, this was the Son of God. This man just played a very intricate and detailed part of Christ's death. I don't know exactly what he knew about Christ. I don't know if he learned about Christ from listening to the trials. I don't know if someone taught him that was from the crowd. I don't know if he'd heard Jesus preach or teach before. But the man knew enough when the event was over. He knew enough to say, what have I done? What have I done? So when you think about when we read the line, he lived and died to buy my pardon. Is this what you think about, and is this event what you kind of picture in your head? Next verse is, an empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Matthew 28, 2-7 says, and behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, and an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and set upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards shook of fear and became like dead men. And the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here. He is risen. So I struggle in my mind a little bit to picture a person that looks as bright as lightning, right? I mean, you can look at the lights and they don't really bother you. They're bright. They're good for us. They're giving us light here. But if you think about lightning in one of these good old-fashioned West Texas storms, it's unbelievably bright. And thinking about a person looking that bright, dressed white as snow, that's amazing to try and picture that. And then you think about these highly trained men. I mean, the Romans were good fighters. They trained their men. These men were so scared. Who knows what kind of battles they'd been through or what kind of training they'd gone through, but they were so scared, they shook from fear. They were ineffective at their jobs. They were frozen completely. They looked as though they were dead men. That's how amazing this was with this bright light and this white, as they saw this person. And then you think about the ladies that were there. You know, the wrappings that they had put on Jesus, they were just laying there. They had been removed. And this is the point in the song where we learn that we're worshiping a living God. This is the God and the only God in all of human existence that has defeated death and still is alive today. So when you sing that one little verse in this song, is that what you picture in your head? Is that the story you think about? Because that's the story we're singing. That's the story we're telling. You know, I'm four lines into the song, and we see that Jesus is born. We see why he was here. We see how he died, and we see how he was risen. And that's a lot to picture in your mind and in your heart and to take in just four verses of a song. The good news is I'm going to move much faster from here as we go through the rest of this song. But the rest of the song comes up and says, "How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he brings, but greater still the calm assurance this child can face in certain days because he lives." Psalms 127, 3 through 5 says, "Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of a womb is like a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Blessed is a man who has a quiver full of them." We're singing about our children that are around us being a gift from God and how amazing it feels to bring that life into this world. And they need you, right? This isn't like a giraffe being born in Africa that within 45 seconds it's up running around. This child will die without you. And you're bringing that life into this world and caring for it. And then the next part of the song says, "But greater still, the calm assurance the child can face in certain days because he lives." That child can become a Christian. And then that child can face so many difficulties in this life, ultimately knowing that this world is not my home. When you sing the song, are you thinking about your children and the fact that, you know, Claire and Libby have recently come forward in the past couple of years and have become Christians and now they have an eternal home in heaven? No matter what horrible things happen on this earth, they've been baptized and they can ultimately spend eternity in heaven. Then the last of the song is, "And then one day I'll cross that river. I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory, and I'll know he lives." 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 8 says, "I solemnly exhort you in the presence of God and of Christ, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by his appearance in the kingdom, preaching the word, be ready in season, out of season, correct, rebuke, and exhort, and give great instruction. For the time will come they will not tolerate sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires, and they will turn their ears away from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. But as for you, use self-restraint in all things, endure hardship, and do the work of an evangelist, fully your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. In the future there is reserved for me a crown of righteousness." This is such a beautiful way to end this song, "Because he lives." But also, when you read this scripture and you add that scripture into it, it's a beautiful way to end your journey on life. The words that Paul said, he's preaching, he's teaching, he's encouraging others, and he's confident. He knows, because he's followed God's word, what's going to happen in the end. It's a better victory. He's going to be in a better place. And we can do the same thing Paul did. We have every right to end our journey, to finish the race strong the same way Paul did. But we've got to be able to read God's word, follow it, understand it, and obey it. So again, I've asked Kyle to lead this song one more time. But this time, I want us to do like we kind of did with the Big Bad John song. We pictured this huge guy. We've got some scriptures, and they don't always have to be the ones that I discuss. But let's try and picture this song as we lead it. And let our hearts and our minds kind of guide us as we sing and we praise God. Because ultimately, that's what our purpose is as we sing songs, is to praise God and to honor him and what he's done for us. Thank you.